No relation because we spell our names differently, but J.R. Stewart is here to represent Springfield Contemporary Theater's 2016 version of the Solo Play Festival. There are three one-person plays that, for this festival, depict three great American humorists, and they will be opening tonight at SCT Center Stage in Wellhoyt Plaza downtown and running Fridays, Saturdays, and Sunday afternoons through December 11th. Well, J.R. is kicking off the Solo Play Festival with a solo piece he wrote and has performed for, 15, 20 years now?
At least, yes.
At least. Yes. It is The Gospel According to Mark. Well, it's Mark Twain we're talking about. So you have quite a history with Mark Twain since you've been doing this show for so long. Give us a little bit of background about your writing and performing career.
Sure. I grew up in southern Indiana, went to Ball State University, where I was going to be an English teacher, and fell into the drama department, and nobody said, you can't do this.
So
I kept on going, and it's been a fun ride ever since, for about 30 years now. When I was in eighth grade in high school, I discovered this dusty album of something called Hal Holbrook and Mark Twain Tonight.
Oh, yes.
And it immediately turned me on to not only theater, but solo performance, to character acting, and Mark Twain, and comedy. It encapsulated the world of things that I respected and loved. And had a chance to meet Holbrook in 1980 after seeing him perform, and again in 1990. And it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful theater experience, and he's a master. So why am I doing my own show? Well, the reason is because Hal Holbrook is still performing his show, and he doesn't let anyone else do his show.
Yes.
And so I decided to create my own concept of it. The first act takes place in 1895, as Twain appeared on his debt tour when he had gone bankrupt and had to pay off his creditors. He toured the world for 13 months.
And did he raise the money he needed?
He did. By the end of 1898, he paid back all of his creditors 100 cents on the dollar.
Well, there you go.
And so in the first act, you get all the things you associate with what you want from Twain, the public.
You're talking about the classic Twain at this point in the mid-1890s.
Absolutely. Yeah. It talks about travel by train. You get a lovely long section from Huck Finn where Huck battles his conscience. And then you get a little insight into his family life. Act two takes place in the privacy of his own study.
And this is 10 years later.
Correct. And in that 10 years, a lot has happened to Mr. Twain. He's had experienced some deaths in his family, and he's tried to figure out what's happening in this country. And it's wild how timely and relevant his writings still are.
Well, one of the pieces of his that you go into during the second act is his attempts to rationalize the logic of a lynch mob, the United States of Lynchardom, he called that piece.
Yes. He reads a newspaper article which tells him that it's happened in Missouri. Missouri is one of the states that have fallen. Certain of Missouri's children have joined the lynchers, and now there's smirches upon the rest of the state.
Mm.
And then he goes about to rationalize the mentality of those who would lynch. And it's fascinating. It really brings to light things we still need to focus on in this country. So it's still entirely relevant. It's incredibly powerful. And believe it or not, there's some laughs in that section as well.
You might not think
Twain.
So. You know, it is Twain. That's yep. True. You have to expect that from Twain. But he also, as you mentioned, over that decade, that intervening decade between 1895 and 1905, when Act Two is set, his daughter Susie died. His wife Livy died.
Yes. And those were devastating blows to him. Two summers ago, I got to visit his house in Hartford, and that was fascinating. Mm. And that's where he spent the happiest 20 years of his life. And that's the house that bankrupted him. And when he left, he could never go back. I know it sounds like a lot of tragedy, but believe me, there is a world of laughter, of sharp wit, of social commentary, and gentle sweetness and love in this show. Why The Gospel According to Mark as a title is because I chose things that exemplify his thoughts on religion, his relationship to God, man's relationship to God, and they all tie in this kind of very ephemeral stream that's, you know, absolutely twain. And it's a beautiful evening. That's my favorite stuff.
How long did you research Twain before you actually started writing this and deciding on what material to incorporate?
It's funny. People I become friends with know that once I'm a friend, I am loyal. And the same thing is with my obsessions. I obsess over Burt Lahr, Laurel and Hardy, Buster Keaton, W.C. Fields, and Twain. And once I got my toes in the Twain's river, I stayed there. And from eighth grade forward, I researched, I looked. Now, since then, I've performed in over 300 productions. So a lot of that has kind of floated away.
Right,
but
right.
Once upon a time, yes, I did all the research and could tell you facts left and right.
And again, the prototype for doing Twain one-man shows, of course, is Hal Holbrook. And how much influence has that had on the way you approach Twain and the way you perform Twain?
Well, my take on it is, in the first act, you get to see Mark Twain. In the second act, you get to see Samuel Clemens.
Yes.
And you get to hear things that he wrote that he never performed on stage. Holbrook has used sections from some of those things, but by and large, this is new territory for most Twain aficionados. And I can hear Holbrook's voice resonating in my head constantly. But about 15 years ago, I went, you've got to silence that voice because this has got to be your own Twain. This is J.R.'s Twain, and I hope it reverberates for everyone. But, you know, you can't just replicate.
No, of course not.
So, yeah.
As you say, he's still active doing the show.
Still doing it, yes. Yeah, God bless him.
he's finally hit Twain's age and beyond, actually, as far as the way he characterizes Twain. And I remember watching it on TV in the late 60s.
Yeah, 67, I believe.
It was the
most watched program on television at that point.
And so that's how I knew it. I didn't have the album. I saw the TV special that he did, mm-hmm. the one-man show. But this is J.R. Stewart's interpretation of Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain. In the Gospel According to Mark, solo piece that you've been doing now for close to two decades.
This show is premiered in 1993, so yeah.
More than two decades.
Yeah.
So you were bringing it to the SCT Center stage at Will Hoyt Plaza. The performances are tonight, and how many are you doing? You're doing all three?
Three this weekend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You'll be doing a total of 15 performances all the way through December 11th, but you have this, the first weekend to yourself. We should talk about the other two shows in the festival as well. Opening next Friday, the 25th, the day after Thanksgiving, is Jim Brochu's Zero Hour, featuring David Rice playing Zero Mostel. Now, you've known David for a long time.
Over 30 years, yes. When I mentioned those people I obsess over, Zero Mostel and Jack Guilford are two of the major ones. And I've known David all these years, and he has been an amazingly talented man. And, you know, talking to him, he's just brilliant. And I'm also directing his one-man show on Zero Mostel.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's why I look so tired this morning.
You're totally immersed in this festival.
Absolutely.
He will be opening that next Friday. It's set in Zero Mostel's painting studio on West 28th Street. A reporter is trying to interview the very cranky Zero Mostel, and mayhem ensues, I guess you could say.
Absolute mayhem. Undiluted Zero Mostel. It's brilliant.
And I can't think of anybody locally who could do a better Zero Mostel than David Rice.
No. And what's wild is the universality of it. You think, what do I have in common with a Jewish theater actor, musical comedy star? What you find out when you come is you realize that Zero's story is America's story. It's every one of our stories. And it's a joy to see it unfold before you.
And don't forget, as famous and popular as he was blacklisted in the 50s.
Absolutely. That's covered in good depth. And I talked to college students the last couple of years, and I said, now, what about the blacklist? And they have no idea what
that
about.
Is, right.
And so it's very important to be reminded of our not too distant history to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Another longtime local favorite, Nathan Shelton. Actually, I guess he isn't living here anymore, but he will be, and he is an Equity actor, I should say. He will be doing David Sedaris's Santaland Diaries, and that opens on December 2nd. And again, the Solo Play Festival runs through December 11th at SCT Center Stage in Wilhoit Plaza. And after you have the whole weekend here to yourself, then you guys will be rotating,
yep,
doing various nights through. Each of you gets about five performances. So
yes,
you can call 831-8001 or visit SpringfieldContemporaryTheater.org. Show times are the usual SCT Center Stage, Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30, Sundays at 2 p.m. And again, J.R. Stewart is opening the Springfield Contemporary Theater Solo Play Festival for this year with The Gospel According to Mark, written and performed by him. J.R. Stewart, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Have we left anything out that you think people need to know?
I just want to say a shout-out to Rick Dines, who is amazing. What an amazing season they have.
Yes.
What an amazing heart he has. And you all should be so proud of this space. My gosh, it's glorious.
And I know they are absolutely good. Very proud of it. And it's something Springfield needs.
Yes.
And
you
know, and we're glad that it's there. Well, thanks a lot. We appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you.
As tired as you may be at this point, it won't get any better for at least for a few weeks, I'm afraid.
Correct.
Thanks a lot.